Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org. Well, it is a great day to be at church as on our fifth Sundays as we get the opportunity to have kids in worship with us. And I figure since it's a family worship day, Pastor Michael, we're going to do something a little bit different for a minute, okay? Sound good? So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and you can turn to Psalm 86 is where we'll be this morning, Psalm chapter 86. But I asked for a volunteer earlier of a student and or a kid and their dad. And so Kayla Palmer and George are going to come up here and help me out with a game right quick that we're going to play. This, I promise this is going to all tie in. It'll work out in the end. I wanted us to have a little bit of fun because it is family worship today, and one of the things that I feel burdened about is helping parents to really invest in their kids. And so today, what I want us to do as we look in Psalm 86, I want us to see something today that I think is so, so important. It's one of the things that we as a church are striving to do in kids ministry and student ministry, but even more important than us teaching kids and students to do these things, it's so important for parents to be investing and parents to be modeling. Just as Pastor Michael was saying, they are watching you. And a lot of what you do is caught, or what if, a lot of what they do is caught more than taught. And if they see us as parents, as they see us as grandparents, if they see us as aunts and uncles or big brothers or big sisters doing these things, then the kids will also begin to apply some of these things into our lives as well. Now, in that little funny game that we played just a moment ago, it was a little bit of hard to communicate, right, George? A little bit, yeah. If you've ever played that game before, you know the struggle that's there. And every time I play George, I drool like a madman. So I'm glad that you did not drool like a madman and I would have to worry about slipping on the floor or anything. But it's one of those things that sometimes communicating can be hard. And sometimes when it comes to communicating with God, it can be a little bit difficult as well. And so what I want us to do today is sometimes it can even seem like a mystery. And what I want us to do today is understand today is how prayer opens the door for us to be with God. How prayer opens up a door for us to be in His presence, for us to be with Him, for us to come into His presence, and for us to hear from Him, and for us to share with Him as well. And so if you have your Bibles, hopefully you've had the opportunity to flip there or turn on your device to get there. But we're going to be in Psalm chapter 86. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read the whole psalm together. This words will also be on the screen. It starts off this way. It says, "Listen, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Protect my life, for I am faithful. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant's life because I appeal to you, Lord. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abounding in faithful love to all who call on you. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea for mercy. I call on you in the day of my distress, for you will answer me. Lord, there is no one like you among the gods, and there are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. I will praise you with all my heart, Lord, my God, and honor your name forever. For your faithful love for me is great, and you rescue my life from the depths of Sheol. God, arrogant people have attacked me. A gang of ruthless men intends to kill me. They do not let you guide them. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your servant, or give strength to your servant. Save the son of your female servant. Show me a sign of your goodness. My enemies will see and be put to shame because you, Lord, have helped and comforted me." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you that we can gather and to be able to worship together as a family. And Father, I pray that as moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents, and Father, I pray that we all in this room, kids, that we will all see the importance of spending time with you in prayer each and every day. Father, as we hear these words this morning, I pray that you'll open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you have to say to us. Father, I ask that you will make me less, that you may be more. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what I want us to do this morning, and kids, I've given y'all a worship bulletin. Hopefully you got one of those on your way in. There's a place for activities in there and everything, but there's a place also for sermon notes. I got some pictures I'll have you guys draw in a little bit, so y'all just stay in tune. But what I want us to do this morning is show us a couple of truths from this passage of Scripture about prayer and how prayer allows us to be with God. And then moms and dads, I want to challenge us to make the most and to be a good model for our kids when it comes to prayer. And I want to lay out some things for us as well that can help us in that as we help our kids, help it to become a regular habit in their lives of prayer for them as well. So first thing I want us to see this morning is this, is that prayer puts God in his rightful place in our lives. Prayer puts God in his rightful place in our lives. And kids, in your little worship bulletin, the first thing I want you to draw is a throne. You can draw a chair if you're not skilled artist or anything like that. But prayer puts God in his rightful place in our lives. If you look again in starting in verse 1, it says, "Listen, Lord, and answer me," the psalmist is saying, "for I am poor and needy. Protect my life, for I am faithful. You're my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I call on you all day long. Bring joy to your servant's life, because I appeal to you." The psalmist here starts off by coming to God in prayer, and he starts off in a way of saying, "Hey, look, I understand that you are God and I am not." He says, "I am poor and needy." And by prayer putting God in his rightful place in our lives, we recognize who God is and who we are not. We are not God. As much as we want to have control, as much as we want to do our own way and go our own way, we are not God. And when we come to God in prayer, it puts him at the right place in our lives because he is Lord. You know, I'm reminded of the psalmist when he writes, "Be still and know that I am God." Again, it's like the importance of being still and listening to God, but it's also being still and realizing that it's not you. It's God. He's God, not you. And when we come to prayer, when we come to God in prayer, when we come to be with God in prayer, it puts us in the right position. It puts us in the right place to where God is recognized as Lord. You know, I'm reminded of Isaiah and the vision that he had in Isaiah chapter 6, when he goes and he sees the vision of God and he sees the throne room is filled with God and his robe extends everywhere. And the cherubim are there and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And he realizes that I'm a man of unclean lips. He quickly realizes that he is not the center of the universe as we would like to think we are a lot of times. That God is Lord, that he is King, that he is mighty, that he is Savior, that he is Creator. You see, I think the hardest part for us a lot of times is not saying yes to God, is staying surrendered to him, is staying regularly like, "God, you have the throne of my life. You have the center place in my life," to where we realize that he is Lord, to where we realize in amazement of how great this God is that we worship, how great this God is that we get the opportunity to sing about, how great this God is that we get the opportunity to pray to as well. And when we're in that right perspective, when we're in that right position, when he is at the throne, we will, just like the famous hymn, we'll be singing the same thing of, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful," and my song will ever be, "how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me," because of the greatness of God. So prayer puts God in his rightful place in our lives. But the second thing I want us to see is this, is that prayer reminds us of his great love and mercy. Prayer reminds us of his great love and mercy. Kids, I want you all in your worship bulletin, I want you all to just draw a cross. Because the cross is a picture of God's great love and mercy for us. Again, in Psalm chapter 86, in verse 5, it says, "For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abounding in faithful love to all who call on you." Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea for mercy. I call on you in the day of my distress, for you will answer me. You see, the thing is that the psalmist understands that this idea of God's great love and mercy that is given to us. And we're reminded of that even though we are such great sinners. Even though we are such great sinners, there was great love and mercy that was shown for us. And that's what Romans 5:8 tells us, that God proves his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. But not only did he do that, but God is continually faithful. That, as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it shows us of God's great love and great mercy. You know, one of the things that is a regular part of our bedtime routine with the kids is as I go in and I tuck them in and we'll pray together and we'll do different things together. But one of the things that I'll do with our kids a lot of times is I'll say, "Who loves you?" And the answer I want back is, "Daddy." They don't always give that. Sometimes they'll say, "Mommy," you know, but I keep prodding them and trying to teach them it's Daddy, no matter who asks you, it's Daddy loves you. I want them to know that. But I also want them to understand something. I also want them to think about something, is that it's not because of anything they've done that Daddy loves them. It's because of who they are. And the same is true for us. If we're a follower of Jesus, God loves us not because of anything that we've done. It's because of who we are and who we belong to. God has great love and great mercy that is extended to us. Even if we would say in this room this morning and you would say, "You know what, I'm not really sure about Jesus and I don't have a relationship with him," I want you to understand that there is great love and mercy that is extended to you, forgiveness that can be received through a relationship with Jesus, because prayer reminds us of his great love and mercy. The third truth I want us to see this morning is that prayer teaches us about God's truth. Prayer teaches us God's truth. Again, in Psalm, starting in chapter 86, verse 11, it says, "Teach me your way, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. I will praise you with all my heart, Lord, my God, and will honor your name forever. For your faithful love for me is great, and you rescue my life from the depths of Sheol." See, prayer teaches us God's truth. Prayer teaches us God's truth. Our kids, I don't know if I told y'all or not, but y'all can draw a heart there, okay, to help y'all remember that one. Draw a heart. It teaches us God's truth. And the reason I want you to draw a heart is because of this. Because we think of heart as a love a lot of times, but, you know, one of the desires of God is that our hearts would be in line with his. And when we spend time in prayer, our hearts become in tune with his. His desires become our desires. And our heart will then reflect out from there and show the world the great love of Christ. You see, God's desire is that our hearts would be in line with his. You see, I think a lot of times, parents, I think we're guilty of the fact that we just want our kids to have the perfect, safe life. I think we're all guilty of that. Like, nobody wants their kid to be put in a place that's going to be hard. But think about this for a second. If you've ever watched the Olympics, right? And one of the Olympics, especially Summer Olympics, is the balance beam. And you see the girls that'll get on the balance beam, and they do all these things on the balance beam, and they're doing flips and everything else. And they're flipping off this thing at the end, and they stand up, and they're arms in the air, and I mean, it's amazing the talent that they have. And I think sometimes in life, we look at the balance beam and we want things so safe and we want things so secure. And so our balance beam routine would look something like we're hugging the thing and kind of wiggling our way across it. And then we get to the end and we kind of take a toe and set it down and put it down. And we're like, yeah, I did it, right? Yeah, it's like one of those things at the end. You see, the true desire, the true prayer that we should have for our kids is that they would just pursue Christ. And that may take them in places that we maybe wouldn't want them to go. But there's no better place for them to be than in the hand of Christ. Following Him. Glorifying Him. That they would pursue Him with their whole life. Because again, God's intent is not that we would get what we want, but that our hearts would be in line with what He wants for us as well. The fourth truth is this, guys, that I want us to see this morning, is that prayer connects us to God for help. It connects us to God for help. And kids, I want y'all to draw like a chain links, kind of linking all those together. It connects us to God for help. You know, Psalm 86, the first, I guess, 13 verses have been kind of the writer. He's been praying different things and talking about God's goodness. He's been talking about God's great love and mercy. He's been talking about God teaching him. And then he kind of takes a little bit of a turn here. He talks about somebody else that's kind of coming against him. And he says these words starting in verse 14. He says, God, arrogant people have attacked me. A gang of ruthless men intends to kill me. And they do not let you guide them. But then he goes on down in verse 17. He says, show me a sign of your goodness. My enemies will see and be put to shame. Because you, Lord, have helped and comforted me. In the end, the psalmist is saying, I need to be connected to God because He is the place, He is the source that I can go to for help. You see, the truth is, just like we are not the one in charge, we're not the one who sits on the throne of our lives, we are actually the needy ones. What he talked about, what the psalmist talked about at the very beginning, we're the ones in great need. And we're the ones that we may be in need, but we also have a great God that we can come to. We have a great God that we can look to. We have a great God that we can call to and who desires to hear from us and desires to help us in our times of need. I mean, just think about it for a second. If you're a parent, or even if you're not a parent, you know that kids ask for stuff, right? Like, I mean, anybody ever had a kid ask you for anything? You know, it's like a drink of water, or, you know, I need to fill in the blank. I want a color. I want a car. You know, I don't know. Like, they just want things. And that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask your parents for things. But what I am saying is that just like when your kid or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew or the kid that you're watching comes to you and doesn't think a thing about who you are, they just walk up to you and say, this is what I need. We can come into the God of the universe in the same way. And say, God, this is what I need. And He welcomes us. He welcomes to hear from us. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 when He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then He goes on. He kind of twists it a little bit. He talks to parents. He talks to aunts and uncles and grandparents, and he says, who among you, if his son asks him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts or good things to those who ask him? See, Jesus kind of jabs at us a little bit. He calls us evil for a moment. Right? He's like, look, if you're evil and you know how to give good things to your kids when they ask for it, then how much more will your Father give to you when you ask of him. You see, prayer gets us in the right place. Prayer helps us to see these four important things. It helps him to get into the right place in our lives. It reminds us of his great love and mercy. It teaches us God's truth, and it connects us to God for help. And so what I wanted to do with us today before we leave is to give everyone in the room an idea of how prayer allows us to be with God. Now, if you've been around church any sort of time, you probably at some point ran across like the Acts prayer, like the acknowledge, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Like those, you know, if you've ever heard that before, like I remember hearing when I was a kid and teenager, I remember hearing those things. And so I actually taught some of this stuff to our students back in the spring. And they helped me kind of tweak where I was going with this into this idea of being with God, W-I-T-H. And so, parents, what my challenge to you, and I'm going to walk through this in a second, but my parents, my challenge to you is that this is not a one-time thing. Like, I've walked through this with my own kids, but I asked them last night, and they're like, no, I don't remember. That's, you know, that happens, right? It's one of those things, though, that we continue to go, we continue to teach them, and we continue to help them to learn these things. It can help us to understand how we can pray as well. And it just goes like this. W would be wow, just the greatness of God. Wow, God, you are great. Just like we've ever seen a beautiful sunset at the beach or been amazed at the mountains and you've ever walked up to the edge of the Grand Canyon and you've gone, wow, right? Like it's coming into God's presence and saying, God, wow, you are good. You are Lord. You're King. You're Savior. You're mighty, you're powerful. Recognizing who he is and who we are not. It recognizes the greatness of God. And the second thing is this, is the I, is I'm sorry, right? It's the confession time. It's the time where we come and we say, I need to seek forgiveness and be reminded of God's great love. God, I'm sorry for my sin, and I seek forgiveness from that sin. God, I need forgiveness from that sin. We're reminded, though, of his great goodness. We're reminded of his love. We're reminded of his mercy. I'm sorry. Wow, I'm sorry. Next is thank you. Just puts us in the rightful place of thanking God for who he is, the forgiveness that he has given to us. It gives us the idea of thanking God for the family that he's given to us, the kids that he's given to us, thanking God for the job that we have and all the things that we have. It teaches us to be thankful. And I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded to be thankful at times. But it teaches us to be thankful. And the last thing is help, H. And that just connects us to God, to God, I need help with. God, I need help with this test. I need help with this friend. God, I need help with this boss. God, I need help with my kids, you know, or whatever it may be. But parents, what I wanted to do with this is not just be a one and done thing. I want to help you. I wanted to help you to have this idea so that you can think about how prayer connects us, or prayer connects us with God and helps us connect with God. Because I think that if we as a church will help our kids walk through these things, they can remember these things about, wow, God is great. God is mighty. God, I'm sorry for these sin in my life. God, thank you for, and God, help me. If we'll just remember those four things and we help our kids understand those things, how will your kids' lives be impacted? How will your kids' lives be changed? If we'll take the time to teach them to be with God through prayer. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for today, and thank you so much for family worship. We thank you that we have the opportunity to be able to worship with our kids and laugh and sing and also study your word. And God, we know that prayer is one of those things sometimes that is maybe overlooked, or maybe we overcomplicate it. But Father, I pray that the things that we've talked about today will help us to understand how we can connect with you through prayer. Father, we thank you for the greatness, for your greatness. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for everything that you've given to us. And God, we pray that you will help us to walk these things out. Father, I pray a special prayer for these parents. Father, I pray that you'll equip them, empower them to be the spiritual leader for their kids. That they'll take the time to teach their kids these things of how they can pray and how they can have this relationship with you and how they can grow in this relationship with you. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.